praise the Lord.
Jesus only, Jesus only, Jesus only, then I'll sing. Jesus only, only He can satisfy.
I want to especially thank the Lord for that song. It was anointed to my heart. I desire prayer that the Lord will anoint His word and that we will see Jesus only. Last Sunday, we spoke about the Spirit of God, and we spoke and emphasized the power of God. And God is so good because He didn't just send us here and leave us alone. He is able to help us. And I praise Him. I had a little statement that I used last Sunday that Brother Hargrave spoke in a message in 1989, and I would like to just enlarge a little bit on that statement. That statement was this, that there is a Spirit of God that animates and charges all godliness, righteousness, and truth. And I'm not sure that it's easy to get a hold of that without having the words right in front of you, but I'm trusting that we will be able to grasp the meaning of his statement. This word animates. It says to bring to life. And this word charge, if you looked up that word charge, you would find an unrelated definition to what Brother Hargrave was meaning. He was meaning something like the moving force. God has a spirit that, well, we could read it like this: there is a Spirit of God that brings to life godliness and righteousness and truth. But there is a Spirit of God that is the moving force in your life and in my life to give us godliness and righteousness and truth. If you and I, as has already been said, even in the prayer, we can't do it alone. We cannot produce this kind of life in us. And we cannot have that moving force that produces something in me that is beyond me. Praise God. So the Spirit of God is what we want to speak about this morning. And this Spirit of God is what is influencing this our spirits. I'm thinking about looking back where I would be had I not yielded myself to that spirit that was wooing me. The scripture says, as we brought out last Sunday, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But it's the work of his spirit on my soul and on your soul that transformed us. I'm not who I once was. I believe there is a song, I haven't heard it but a time or two, I'm not the man I used to be. Have you ever heard that song before? And maybe the writer of that song tells of how he used to be.
And now, thanks to Calvary.
What?
It says, thanks to Calvary.
Thanks to Calvary. He was transformed from that dead state of degradation into a life of godliness. How I praise God for godly men. And I do want to say to our men today, I want to agree with what Sister Lorinda said. I praise God for each one of you. I praise God for your example. I praise God that you're willing to step up and be that example and let your light shine. And ministering in the congregation, you know, you say, well, I'm not a minister. You can minister.
Yes.
And you do minister. And I thank the Lord for each one of you today. And I know that's what this day represents. But so I want to give another scripture that we spoke of concerning man last Sunday. And it was from 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, and I want to include a couple of more verses confirming that man has a soul, he has a body, but man also has a spirit. Each one of us here, you have a spirit. And the scripture goes on in Job, and it said, there is a spirit in man. It's something just slightly different from the soul. It is connected with the soul, but it is the soul that is embodied in this body. I have this body, you have a body, and we all know that we have an appointment. This body is going to go back to dust. But that part that is eternal will live somewhere in eternity. That's what we're doing here today. We're all interested in where our soul ends up. It's very vital to us. We count it a very valuable thing to be able to learn out of the Word of God or hear out of the Word of God. Proverbs 20 and 20 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts. So I have a portion of me that is influenced by other spirits. And while we know there's many spirits, and we're going to bring out some of those scriptures today, but we certainly want to emphasize the sweet spirit of the Lord. Have you found the spirit of the Lord to be sweet? You know, Jesus said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted? Have you come away spoiled? You don't have an appetite for any other spirit. But the Spirit of the Lord is precious. I'm thinking of the work of the Spirit of God and its purpose. And here again, just as God is not willing for you to perish or me to perish, and I even said again and again, I've said it more than once, not one of us has chosen to be born in this world. We had nothing to do with it. And God feels this grave responsibility now for your soul and my soul. And so he not only gives us power, as we spoke of last Sunday, to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, but then he gives us his sweet spirit. Praise God for the Spirit of God that can be in us. And we did speak a little bit of it, but this scripture says that the spirit of man, God, is like a candle, and God is searching the inward parts. And only God knows how to work with my spirit, and it be positive, and it be effective, and it work according to the work of the Spirit. And the purpose and work of the Spirit is to help us to be more like Christ every day. And it's a growing place. It's not a place that you finally reach this place. I now have the Spirit working in me, and I'm demonstrating the life of Christ. No, you're going to have it every day. You're going to have to seek for that Spirit to be working in you and in me daily. And we can connect that thought with the scripture that says, take up your cross daily. You have a cross. I have a cross. Jesus bore his cross. And then he said it. Now you take up your cross daily. That's yielding yourself to that place that God has allowed you to be in your life. And you have, it is a daily walk. It's not something that I get in 19 so forth. Whatever year I got saved, 1985 or whatever, and that's all it is. No, God's going to work with you with his spirit and his power every day. Thank the Lord. So it's the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit that what it does, it wants to exalt the power of Christ and his image in us. And so I'm thinking about, and I'm trusting that the Lord will help us to be able to make a connection between the work of the Spirit of God and with the spirit of man. And the soul of every man, as we have said, is eternal. And we must guard our soul. We must be as Abraham. It was spoken in the Sunday school about the covenant of God and how he always honors his covenant, but he wants us to honor our promise to him or our covenant. And we look at Abraham, and Abraham had a covenant with the Lord. And what did he do? He was called on to make a sacrifice to seal that covenant. And as he prepared his covenant, the fowl of the air came down and was trying to destroy his part. But what did he do? Did he just go ahead and fall asleep? He stayed awake. We must stay awake. We must be alert. We must, and I don't want to emphasize these other spirits too much today. I want us to focus on the sweet spirit of the Lord. But there are spirits that is trying to draw you and me away and affect our covenant with the Lord. And we must be awake, spiritually awake. And the scripture tells us, said it to Israel, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. So don't allow yourself to get sleepy spiritually and the fowls of the air come and consume your covenant or your sacrifice, because God is going to be faithful to his sacrifice and to his covenant with us. And his sweet spirit wants to be able to commune with each one of us. I'm thinking of the kinds of influence, and again, I want to focus on the goodness of the Lord, but the scripture says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights. So that includes his sweet spirit that he wants to commune with us. He wants to influence your choices and my choices and my decisions. And he wants to influence, he wants our all of our choices to be godly. He wants all of our influences to be righteous. And he wants it to be holy. And, you know, God spoke in his word in so many different places. Jesus did. And sometimes it almost seems like that the challenge is almost beyond us. But he says, be ye holy as I am holy. And you say, well, how can I be holy? Get a hold of the Spirit of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to be in you and dwell in you and influence you and speak to you. Yes. You can do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He would not have made this plan if it wasn't a plan that would work. And it works. And generations before us have testified to it and lived it and has left their testimony. And we have those that are living it today as proof that the power of the Spirit of holiness can work in man in 2023. Praise God. So these good gifts and these perfect gifts, they come from above. Thank the Lord. Now, there is a scripture in 1 Corinthians 2 and 12, and it says this: now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Thank God. If you are saved, you are a candidate to receive the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And it says that we might know the things freely given to us of God. You can't really know unless you are filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit of God. The office, the work of that Spirit, you will not fail. Oh, you say, I have heard of failure. You have to refuse the work of it to fail. But the work that God wants it to do in us and through us is to promote his kingdom in us. Praise God. And I want to assure us of one thing. The scripture that is a very small scripture, and we have all used it: greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is he talking about? He's talking about those spirits that are of the world. The spirit from the pits of hell. But the Spirit of God being in us is greater. He has given us the word that there's nothing too hard for him. There's nobody that has gone so far that they cannot be saved by the power of the blood and the power of the Holy Spirit to be redeemed to the uttermost. Now, what does that mean? Leave you halfway. I'm going to do it to the uttermost. Praise God. Isn't there hope in this? Then there's another scripture in 1 Corinthians 14 and 10. And it's one that we have spoken on before, but we're going to use it just a little bit differently. There are so many kinds of voices in the world. Aren't there a lot of different voices that you hear that will try to influence you and me? We could even change it just a little bit and not do damage to the scripture. It says there are so many kinds of spirits in the world. What are they doing? They're vying for your attention. But I want to speak just a little bit about the voice of God. Do you know the voice of God? Are you familiar? Have you become acquainted with the voice of God? You know the voice of God. And I spoke just a little bit on it in Sunday school of how he works with us when we're young in the Lord. And he ministers to us in a more obvious way. I could testify today of different things that the Lord used to do with me because I was a child. He works with us as children when we're starting out, and he's mindful to be able to win our attention to him, and also that we can get acquainted with his ways. I'm acquainted with his ways because of how he led me as a young person. But there comes a time, he says, I want you to grow up. I want you to become mature and trust and believe that when his word says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and after a while you feel like he has, you still believe. You still trust in the word of the Lord. You still trust that that spirit is there working in me and working through me. Thank the Lord. So the voice of the Lord is a still, small voice. Sometimes we wish it were otherwise. There's been so many times in the last 40 years that I have been in a place that I longed, and I would tell the Lord, I'd be sitting in my chair. I have two chairs in my bedroom, and I'd say, Lord, I wish that you were sitting in that chair right there, and you were talking to me audibly. And you would just tell me everything. You know, that's not how he works. But we long for it. We can long for it. But he has a little voice. But it's a true voice. And the one thing I can testify to is that when the voice of the Lord has spoken to me, it was always true. And I understood it was true. When he showed me something about myself, there was a witness. This is true. This is who you are. This is what you need to do. I have numbers of places that the Lord did that for me. God will only speak the truth to you because the scripture says, his spirit is the spirit of truth. And he knows how to reveal the truth about you to you. Do you know that? I can't do it. No one is able to point their finger at you and say, I know what your problem is. But the Spirit of God can. And it does. And it is able to speak to us. And one thing that I have counseled others, and maybe I've even said it here, when the Spirit of the Lord has reproved me, you ever had the spirit of reproof? When he has spoken to me with the spirit of reproof, it is with the most tender, loving sound of a voice, I could not resist it. That's one of the ways I know it's the voice of the Lord. It is not that way when the enemy comes around. But oh, that sweet Spirit of God to correct me, teach me, guide me. This is the way, walk ye in it. Don't turn to the left or the right. And it says there would be a voice behind you that would be saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. That's the Spirit of God. So we have so much to appreciate what God wants to do with each of our lives once we give our heart and life to Him. And when I think of man with having a spirit, you know, you can't hardly describe a spirit. You can't draw a picture of a spirit. But we understand our humanity, don't we? You have a mind. You think. You have feelings. You have emotions. You have what is part of man that you have family traits. You were born in a certain family and you grew up with influences of that family, and that becomes part of your who you are. It's part of your spirit. And God is working with that spirit to perfect it. Over in the Psalms, it says, He will perfect that which concerneth you. Have you ever needed any perfecting down through your life? I have. He wants to perfect our spirits also by His influence. Thank the Lord. There is a scripture also that has been a blessing to me many times once I understood it. I didn't understand it for a long time, but it's Matthew, the 5th chapter and verse 3. And it's very familiar to you. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. I could not understand how you and I can be poor in spirit, but I think I have a little vision of what it means now. It's to be poor in spirit is to be dependent. You can't help yourself without the help of God, and so you become dependent. You know, a lot of people want to be independent. And in some ways, it's good to be independent. But when it comes to spiritual things, let us be dependent. So blessed are the ones that are dependent in their spirit. And then this is the part I want to leave with you. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I had a hard time understanding what that meant and what that represented to me. But I saw another translation that opened it up. And it says it this way. All that heaven stands for is at your disposal. Once I knew that, I have hope. I have access to whatever it stands for. What does heaven stand for to you? Oh, we're looking beyond it being our goal, our eternal home. It stands for the power of God to redeem us and keep us and deliver us. We need deliverance from ourselves sometimes. So I have just a few names I'm going to give to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is a drawing spirit. What does that mean? The Spirit had to draw you, and He had to draw me to Himself to be saved. He had to draw us how? By the Spirit of conviction. Now remember, the Spirit of conviction is different from a spirit of accusation and guilt. Oh, we may feel our guilt as a result of the Spirit of conviction, but it is a spirit of hope. So we don't approach God in a hopeless manner because he's offered us a spirit of hope. But also God is the spirit of love. And maybe we should have said that one first. I think I mentioned something last week that I got down into the message and then referred to love, and I said that should have been first. God is love. He's the very essence and creation of and the source of love. The very spirit of love works in every part of the spirit of God. It's his reason for drawing you and ministering to. He is a ministering spirit. He ministers to us every day, partly through his word, partly when we're praying and he's speaking to us in that still small voice, giving the assurance. I hear your prayers. I know where you are. I know your name. I know your address. I know your needs. Thank the Lord. So there's another spirit of God that we depend on. It's a spirit of compassion and mercy. And he gives us the assurance that his mercy endureth forever. So I don't have to worry that maybe when I get old, it'll run out. But his compassions. And it says they're new every morning. And I like to think of it in this way, that there's a fresh supply. Every morning, it's new. It will not run out for this whole world until Jesus comes again.
Thank the Lord.
So he has a spirit of compassion and mercy. And another spirit that is of God is a comforting spirit. Man needs comfort. We all have places. Do you ever go before the Lord, even in your daily life, and say, Lord, I need comfort? I do. God will comfort you through his spirit. Another one is he has a healing spirit. Every time we mention healing, you know, I know where our minds go. Healing of the body. Oh, it is a wonderful thing what God has to offer to his people who will believe and trust and stand on his word and stand on the promises. There is healing, but I want to tell you, God has a healing spirit for the mind, for your spirit. Did you know that man can have a broken spirit? Have you ever felt broken? Did you ever feel like your spirit needed to be healed? I have. God has a healing spirit for the wounds in your life, for the disappointments that come in life. Man fails us. God never fails us. His spirit will not fail you. Thank the Lord. So the last one we're going to mention, he has a correcting spirit. Do you value the corrections in your life? Because he says, if you're my child and I'm your father, if I don't correct you, then you're not my child. So we value the times that he brings us to those places that through his correcting spirit. Oh, but once again, it's always so gentle. It's so sweet and precious. That's how I've experienced it. And I know that he's that way with each one of us because he loves us. Oh, I have so many other scriptures, but I'm going to stop now. And may the Spirit of the Lord minister to you and enlarge this. There's so many things in the Word of God about the Spirit of God. Get acquainted with the Spirit of God and allow him to fill you and to give you then that power to overcome. Pray for me.